Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 221. O Jesus, our dear Master, thy works, now understood, reveal their full effulgence through love and brotherhood. Today, Christ's precious science, thy healing power makes plain. With joy may all obey thee, and cast out sin and pain. Hymn number 221. The scriptural this morning will be given by Shahidat from Maryland.
I will read from the book of Zechariah, chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt. The foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit, wherein is no water. turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. When I have bent Judah for me, build the bow with Ephraim, and raise up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and made thee as the sword of a mighty man. And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as a lightning. And the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with the whirlwinds of the south. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty! Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father, which art in heaven, our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious,
hallowed be thy name,
adorable one,
thy kingdom come,
thy kingdom is come, thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 157. Jesus' prayer for all his brethren, Father, that they may be one, echoes down through all the ages. Nor prayed he for these alone, but for all, that through all time God's will be done. Hymn number 157.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin our Sundays here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, where we discuss this week's lesson, other topics that need to be covered, and learn how to practice better Christian Science. And we had another really good one this morning. So if you missed it, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com. And you can also find it on our YouTube channel and our Vimeo channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets at 11 a.m., and that Sunday school is available for children just about anywhere. It has its own teleconference number, and many of our students don't live in the area, but they do attend via telephone. And this means that if you don't live in the area, but you have a child of Sunday school age, your child can also attend our Sunday school. Just call the church. We'll give you the number for the Sunday school, and our Sunday school teachers will be very happy to welcome your child. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives vastly improved through the study and practice of Christian Science. And just a reminder that the Bible study session that was originally scheduled for yesterday has been rescheduled for Saturday, March 29, 8 p.m. So put that on your calendar and we'll let you know when the study questions are available. And look forward to another rousing session. That's Saturday, March 29. And at all of our services and meetings, we do have a nursery available for infants and toddlers. So if you do happen to come in person, you can bring the whole family. We have 18 websites in 18 different languages. This is our missionary work to spread the healing power of Christian Science to as many people around the world as possible. And many are finding our websites, often in their own language. And we are very grateful for all of you who have found our website, have found our church, and have found the healing power of Christian Science. I'd like to point out a really good article that's featured on our English language website by William D. McCracken entitled True Courage. It's got what it takes. I recommend it highly. And everyone is welcome here. And that includes those of you who are listening and participating from around the world. Now we will have the reading of a testimony of healing from our textbook, Science and Health, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Sylvia from Australia.
Page 623, Consumption Quickly Cured. I became interested in Christian Science nearly 5 years ago through the healing of my wife of what the doctors called consumption in its last stages. I had tried everything that I could get in the way of materia medica, and every doctor would tell me nearly the same story about the case. At last, they recommended for her only a higher, drier climate, and when she would be at her worst, to give her something to quiet her. I tried different climates, but she was no better, indeed worse. At last, she struggled along until the 1st of March, 1899. She had taken to her bed again. For 2 days and nights she suffered, and I called a physician. He came and diagnosed the case and said that he could do nothing for her but give her some morphine tablets to make her rest. I gave her two of them according to direction, and just before the time to give her the third, she called me to her bedside and said, "Don't give me any more of that stuff, for it does me more harm than good." So I turned and placed them in the fire, though I did not then know anything about Christian Science. We had heard of it, but that was all. I gave her the last tablet at 8 o'clock that night, and at about 9 o'clock the next day, a lady who had been healed in Christian Science visited her and introduced her to this great truth. She accepted it and thought she would try it. The lady learned her science and health. She got the book about 10 o'clock that day and read it until dinner was called. She ate a hearty dinner, the first in about 3 days, and that same evening she dressed herself, walked into the dining room, ate a hearty supper, and enjoyed it. She slept well that night. She borrowed this lady's copy of Science and Health 2 hours each day for 8 days, and was healed. The first day that she read Science and Health, she weighed about 95 pounds. 3 months later, she weighed 135 pounds. A.J.D., Houston, Texas.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and the correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts in their denominational spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 18 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Christ Jesus. The golden text is from Revelation. "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, 'Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God.'" The responsive reading is from Revelation. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war.
His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself.
And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean.
And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God.
And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Craig from Plainfield will now read.
The Bible. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. John. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise? Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Mark. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. Luke. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. John, abide in me, and I in you. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. As the Father hath loved me, so I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. John. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen.
Elizabeth from Georgia will now read.
I will read correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. When man is governed by God, the ever-present mind who understands all things, man knows that with God all things are possible. The only way to this living truth, which heals the sick, is found in the science of divine mind, as taught and demonstrated by Christ Jesus. Man-made doctrines are waning. They have not waxed strong in times of trouble. Devoid of the Christ power, how can they illustrate the doctrines of Christ or the miracles of grace? Denial of the possibility of Christian healing robs Christianity of the very element which gave it divine force and its astonishing and unequaled success in the first century. The true Logos is demonstrably Christian science, the natural law of harmony, which overcomes discord, not because this science is supernatural or preternatural, nor because it is an infraction of divine law, but because it is the immutable law of God, good. Jesus said, "I knew that thou hearest me always," and he raised Lazarus from the dead, stilled the tempest, healed the sick, walked on the water. There is divine authority for believing in the superiority of spiritual power over material resistance. A miracle fulfills God's law, but does not violate that law. This fact at present seems more mysterious than the miracle itself. The miracle introduces no disorder, but unfolds the primal order, establishing the science of God's unchangeable law. Spiritual evolution alone is worthy of the exercise of divine power. There is today danger of repeating the offense of the Jews by limiting the Holy One of Israel and asking, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? What cannot God do?" It has been said, and truly, that Christianity must be science, and science must be Christianity. Else one or the other is false and useless. But neither is unimportant or untrue, and they are alike in demonstration. This proves the one to be identical with the other. Christianity, as Jesus taught it, was not a creed, nor a system of ceremonies, nor a special gift from a ritualistic Jehovah. But it was the demonstration of divine love casting out error and healing the sick, not merely in the name of Christ or truth, but in demonstration of truth, as must be the case in the cycles of divine light. It is neither science nor truth which acts through blind belief, nor is it the human understanding of the divine healing principle as manifested in Jesus, whose humble prayers were deep and conscientious protests of truth, of man's likeness to God, and of man's unity with truth and love. There is a tradition that Publius Lentulus wrote to the authorities at Rome, "The disciples of Jesus believe him the Son of God." Those instructed in Christian science have reached the glorious perception that God is the only author of man. The Virgin Mother conceived this idea of God and gave to her ideal the name of Jesus, that is, Joshua, or Savior. The illumination of Mary's spiritual sense put to silence material law and its order of generation, and brought forth her child by the revelation of truth, demonstrating God as the Father of men. The Holy Ghost, or Divine Spirit, overshadowed the pure sense of the Virgin Mother with the full recognition that being is spirit. The Christ dwelt forever an idea in the bosom of God, the divine principle of the man Jesus. And woman perceived this spiritual idea, though at first faintly developed. Man as the offspring of God, as the idea of spirit, is the immortal evidence that spirit is harmonious and man eternal. Jesus was the offspring of Mary's self-conscious communion with God. Hence, he could give a more spiritual idea of life than other men and could demonstrate the science of love, his Father or divine principle. Jesus was no ascetic. He did not fast as did the Baptist disciples. Yet there never lived a man so far removed from appetites and passions as the Nazarene. He rebuked sinners pointedly and unflinchingly because he was their friend, hence the cup he drank. If we have triumphed sufficiently over the errors of material sense to allow soul to hold the control, we shall loathe sin and rebuke it under every mask. Only in this way can we bless our enemies, though they may not so construe our words. We cannot choose for ourselves, but must work out our salvation in the way Jesus taught. While respecting all that is good in the church or out of it, one's consecration to Christ is more on the ground of demonstration than of profession. In conscience, we cannot hold to beliefs outgrown, and by understanding more of the divine principle of the deathless Christ, we are enabled to heal the sick and to triumph over sin. Remember, thou Christian martyr, it is enough if thou art found worthy to unloose the sandals of thy master's feet. Our Heavenly Father, divine love, demands that all men should follow the example of our Master and his apostles and not merely worship his personality. It is sad that the phrase divine service has come so generally to mean public worship instead of daily deeds. Security for the claims of harmonious and eternal being is found only in divine science. Scripture informs us that with God all things are possible. All good is possible to spirit. In our age, Christianity is again demonstrating the power of divine principle, as it did over 1900 years ago, by healing the sick and triumphing over death. In the sacred sanctuary of truth are voices of solemn import, but we heed them not. It is only when the so-called pleasures and pains of sense pass away in our lives that we find unquestionable signs of the burial of error and the resurrection to spiritual life. There is neither place nor opportunity in science for error of any sort. Every day makes its demands upon us for higher proofs rather than professions of Christian power. These proofs consist solely in the destruction of sin, sickness, and death by the power of spirit, as Jesus destroyed them. The impersonation of the spiritual idea had a brief history in the earthly life of our Master. But of his kingdom there shall be no end. For Christ, God's idea, will eventually rule all nations and peoples, imperatively, absolutely, finally, with divine science.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 253. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. O'er waiting harp strings of the mind, there sweeps a strain, low, sad, and sweet, whose measures bind the power of pain, and wake a white-winged angel throng of thoughts, illumined by faith, and breathed in raptured song, with love perfumed. Hymn number 253.
every time I try to make it on my own. Every time I try to stand and start to fall. And all those lonely roads that I have traveled on.
Let's now sing hymn number 264. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Hymn number 264.
Thank you. I will read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Amen.